Have you been to the grocery store lately and seen how much stuff costs, how much food costs? It just keeps going up higher and higher. Have you been to the gas station recently or this morning? And it's like every day, the price just keeps going up and up. Have you seen what's going on in the housing market? It's not uncommon for people to spend an additional $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 to buy a house. Why do people pay so much money for that food? Why do they pay so much money for that fuel? Why do they pay so much money for those houses? Because they want them. They want them. They recognize the price is high, but they want what they are buying. We just had someone go on vacation, and I can't speak for them. I'll speak for myself. If I want to get out of town and gas is high, I'm still going to get out of town. We want those things. How about discipleship? The high cost of discipleship. Do we really want to be a disciple? If we want to be a disciple, we are going to be willing to pay the cost. That's what I want us to talk about for a few minutes this morning. Before we get into the lesson, I want to welcome everyone again. We have a visitor with us. We're so glad you came to be with us. Please stay around a couple minutes so we can get to know you a little better. And we appreciate you being here very much. God continues watching over us and blessing us with the health, the safe travels, and with so many things. I invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 9, and we will read there in a minute. But many people are concerned with the high cost of living today. Again, few people have considered the high cost of discipleship. Even a lot of people that are in the Lord's church have not considered that cost. One of the reasons that some may not have considered it is because they are unaware of the cost that the Lord has placed upon us if we want to be His disciples. Everybody wants the privileges of being a disciple. We want the privileges that a Christian can enjoy. We want to be God's children. We want to be able to go to Him in prayer. We want to have heaven waiting for us in the end. But are we willing to pay the price for those things? What is the high cost of discipleship? The Lord has answered this question, and we should see what that answer is, and we should write that on our hearts because we do not want to miss out. So beginning in Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." A lot of people want to follow Jesus till Jesus tells them what to do, and then they begin to make excuses. So what does it cost to be the Lord's disciple? First one, we've got to understand we must place the Lord above everyone else. We think about the position that our Lord occupies. Luke 14:26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." So Jesus is not saying that we must be hateful, angry toward them, but we must love them less than we love Him. No one must come between us and our worship to our Lord. He demands it. He deserves first place in our lives. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We all understand what first is. What's first? What comes before first? Nothing. Jesus is first. He is first place in our lives. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." So we can't allow our parents to hinder us from obeying him. We can't allow our husband, our wife, our children to interfere with faithful service with him. Matthew 10:37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Jesus must be number one in our life. We sometimes sing the song, "Jesus is all the world to me." I think it's number 590 in our book. But we sing that, and we sing it with great enthusiasm. He's all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. And then what do? For Jesus? Sometimes we aren't willing to pay the cost to do what he wants us to do. Something else that we must understand as the cost of discipleship is the sacrifice we must make. We must sacrifice worldly pleasures, desires, passions, and life for him. We've got to give them up. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Is that easy to do? No, it's not easy to do. Paul said he had to buffet his body daily. When we come up out of those waters of baptism, Satan's going to come after us full force. He's going to want to take us back into the world. He doesn't want to lose any of those that we're serving him. But we must put to death our old man of sin. Romans 6:6, Paul says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." And Galatians 5:24, "Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." If you took a body out and to the cemetery and dug a hole and put it in there and covered it up, and you saw that dirt start moving, we'd probably run out of there screaming, because we would know that body, that person, was not dead. We've got to have that same fear in our own lives when we're tempted to sin. When we see that old man try to come back to life and do those things that he wants to do, we've got to crucify that old man. We must get rid of anything that's incompatible with our new nature. Again, is that easy? No. But God has provided us the tools that we need to do that. The Word is one of the most powerful tools that we have. Prayer is one of the most powerful tools that we have. Each other, our brothers and sisters, are one of the most powerful tools that we have to pay this price of discipleship, to help each other crucify that old man. If someone is struggling with something, we aren't going to point our finger and wag at them and say, "Shame on you." We are going to want to try to help them, as we read about in Galatians chapter 6. We want to help bear each other's burdens. We want to help each other so that we can pay this cost of discipleship and live forever with Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have so many examples of people, the sacrifices that they made to serve God. If Christ is going to live in me, he can't live in me with that old man still there. You recognize that in all kinds of physical things. You might see a bird's nest or something small or something where some animal lives, or even a house or an apartment. You got a bunch of people living in an apartment. Somebody else wants to move into that apartment. You got to get those old people out of there first before those new people can move in. We understand that. Why don't we understand that with Christ? We crucify that old man so that Christ can move in, and we submit to him, and when we follow him then. And you think about the sacrifice of giving up things, and then some people, they consider it too great a sacrifice just to do something that God tells them to do. I'm not talking about giving up something that's has a hold on you, but just something that God tells you to do, like assembling, coming together. People will say, I'm too tired. We've got company coming today. The weather is bad. We want to go somewhere else. When we use those excuses, we aren't practicing self-denial and putting Christ first. And I use that example of assembling because that's a common example to use. And we say those excuses are silly. But then you take that to any other command that God has given us. Would we use that those excuses for personal evangelism? I'm too tired to share the gospel with anybody. I've got company coming. You know, the weather's bad. The weather's bad. I can't share the gospel with somebody. I want to go somewhere else. I don't have time to talk to anybody about Christ. Friends, we've got to understand Christ comes first, number one, and we sacrifice things to put Christ number one. Again, when I go to the grocery store, it's not empty. Grocery store is not empty. There's a lot of people in there. They're willing to pay the price to get that food. I go to the gas station. Sometimes I have to wait behind another car or two because people want to get that high price gas. Why aren't people willing to pay the price to be a disciple? Why is that? Another item we must understand to pay the price, we must forsake all that is ours for him. Jesus tells us in Luke 14:33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Does that mean we just sell everything and walk away from it and say, I'm going to follow Jesus? No, but we have to be willing to. If there's something that comes between us and the Lord, we've got to be willing to give that up. Paul said in Philippians 3:8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And this is the attitude that we need to have. Now Paul, when he said he had learned contentment, he knew how to live with an abundance of much and with a lack, at some point, Paul had a lot, and he had little, and he knew how to be content, but he had position. Paul was a powerful person that had some means. And he says, what's that worth to me? It's rubbish compared. The cost of all of that worldly stuff is the same as rubbish compared to what I am going to gain by living for Christ. And we've got to see that with any of our worldly attainments, possessions. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. Again, we just have to have the perspective that Christ is first. And then when we have that perspective, we are not going to let those worldly pursuits interfere with us doing what our Lord wants us to do. Life is not about the stuff that we have. It's about the stuff that is in us, the character that we have. It's what we put into our hearts. That's what life is all about. And you can see some people that have so much, they are the unhappiest, crankiest people with no friends. I'm generalizing. But you can see people that have nothing, and they are the happiest people, the friendliest people, because they know what's waiting for them. They know what's waiting for them after this life. Romans 13:14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." So we can't think, well, if I love Christ more than I love Satan, I'll be okay because I love Christ more. Christ isn't going to settle for that. We make no provision for the flesh. Again, when we are told to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, part of that is for our protection. Because if we don't love Him 100%, Satan is going to come, he's going to take that 1 or 2%, and that's going to be for the door for him to get into our heart. Another thing we need to consider about paying the high cost of discipleship, we must continually abide in His Word. In John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed." So discipleship is conditional, and here it's based on being in the Word. When we go to John chapter 15, a familiar passage that talks so much about abiding in Him, John 15:1, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit. For without Me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and there they are burned." This principle is so simple, yet so many people miss it. We cannot live in Christ, we cannot bear fruit unless we abide in Him. We must be attached to the vine. Some people think, well, I can be baptized and I'm saved and I can go on my way. We can't do that. We have to abide in Christ. We have to abide in His Word. We understand that, again, in the physical realm. If we have a grapevine and we go and when it starts leafing out this spring and we cut that and bring it in and lay it on our table and we wait for grapes to appear, it's not going to happen. It's just going to wither up and die. Why? Because it is detached from the vine. The branch is detached from the vine. If we are not abiding in Christ, we are just going to wither up and die. And something else that so many people misunderstand, you cannot separate Christ from the church. You cannot be in Christ and not be in the church. People separate themselves from the church and they do not bear fruit. What do? They wither up and they die. But that's something that Satan is getting a lot of people to buy into. Two of our memory verses, Deuteronomy 6:6, And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Notice he didn't say, tell your children, mention it to them once or twice a week, maybe on the Sabbath and maybe some other day. No, he tells them every day, throughout the day. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And what's going to happen if we don't teach our children God's word? They're going to grow up ignorant of God and what they need to do. And we've got a generation or so that are falling into that trap. In Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How? By being in God's word. And in Proverbs 4:20, the writer says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Again, the word of God is so invigorating, life-giving, life-sustaining, yet people think that they can be a disciple of Christ and not spend time in the Word. And when we're in the Word, then we've got to be careful we don't go beyond the Word. 2 John 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So that means we need to have a thus saith the Lord, it is written, a book, chapter, verse, for whatever we do. Silence is prohibitive. Are we paying the cost of discipleship? We need to examine ourselves and see if we are paying what Christ expects us to pay. And if you are paying the cost, you should not feel like, well, I paid what he said to do. I came here today, so he owes me a crown. Friends, that's the wrong attitude also. We're told in Luke 17:10, so likewise, you, when you have done all things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Have you done as much as Peter or Paul or any of the apostles? And any of them would say, we are unprofitable servants. And I'm afraid what we do nowhere compares to what other Christians have done. But then again, we have this attitude in our society, whatever I want to do is fine and it's going to be acceptable. And when we are doing our part, it's still God's grace that gives it to us. As Brother Code read, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So some people will say, see, the Ephesians, they didn't have to do anything to be saved. It was a gift. Well, again, you got to look at all the verses. You got to look at all the verses. Where do you read about the Ephesians? You go back to the book of Acts in Acts chapter 19. And when you read Acts chapter 19, the first five verses, and all they knew was the baptism of John, and they were baptized of John, and when they learned the baptism of Christ, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So the Ephesians, you can't say that they didn't have to be baptized because it was a gift. No, we read in Acts 19 that they were baptized into the name of Jesus. And you stop and you think about the cost of discipleship. And it is a high cost. But what if God had said, I'm not going to tell you to put me first, to sacrifice. I'm not going to tell you to surrender. I'm not going to tell you to abide in my word. What if he told us, you can be my disciple and I'll give you heaven. You just have to work and bring this much gold that I have on the slide up here. Bring this much gold and lay at the altar every Sunday. That's the only price I'm going to charge you. None of us would be able to do it. See, he could have set a price that was impossible to pay. The price that he sets is not impossible to pay. It's just a lot of us are not willing to pay it. Or again, we are ignorant of what he wants us to do. But what if we don't pay? And again, you think of that grocery store. You don't pay the price, you go hungry. You don't get the gas at the gas station, your car sits in the driveway. You don't have the money for that new house, you stay in your old house. What if you don't pay the cost of discipleship? Well, we're told about that too in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Since it's a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't want to pay the price? God isn't going to make you pay it. He's not going to make you pay it, but he's going to tell you what's going to happen if you don't pay it. It's just like you can't walk out of the grocery store with not paying for it. I saw something the other day. It said, when I was a kid, I used to go to the store and be able to buy 5 comic books, 2 candy bars, I used to be able to get 5 comic books, 2 candy bars, and walk out with a can of pop for $1. He said, now they've got security cameras. So he was trying to steal. He was trying to get something for nothing. You can do what God tells you to do and pay the price, but you don't have to do it. But he tells you what's going to happen. He's going to come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and on those who do not know him. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So you think about our options. We can pay the cost of discipleship. When we leave this earth, and we're all going to leave this earth, we can, if it's before Christ comes back and we die, we can be carried by the angels into paradise, wait for the judgment, and we'll get our reward. We'll live in the presence of our Heavenly Father, who we love more than anything else. There'll be no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no tears, no disappointments. But we don't have to pay that price. But then what's waiting for us? What's our reward? Our reward then is outer darkness. That's like the extreme away from God. God is light. We're going to be not just in darkness, outer darkness, where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of our teeth. Things that do not conjure up good thoughts for time without end. In total darkness, in pain and suffering. All of those things that are in heaven are going to be missing from where we are going to be. Friends, the cost of discipleship. We must put Christ first. We must sacrifice for him. We must surrender everything. And we must abide in his word. Is it worth it? It's worth it. It's worth it, friends. If you aren't a disciple of Christ, we ask you, we beg you, don't put it off. I think everybody here knows what they need to do. You just need to do it. We invite anybody that needs to make their life right, please come forward now as we stand and sing.